So the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 3. Find your place in Nehemiah and then stick a gospel tract in there and then go over to Ezekiel 22. We're going to look at both of those passages, one verse out of Ezekiel 22, and then we'll move over to Nehemiah chapter 3. All right, you should have Ezekiel 22 open, and when you have your place in God's Word and you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Ezekiel 22, and we're going to read verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. It's a sad commentary, but that's about the way it is today. I mean, there are some men that are standing. Praise God for Pastor Skiver, Pastor Ballard, and many pastors that are standing today. But, you know, there are some that aren't standing. There are some that are caving in to the pressures of the world and modernism and all, and they're not standing where they ought to be. And the only hope for America, folks, is for men to stand in the gap, lest God destroy the land. Right. And we're losing men. I mean, not only are we losing some of them to modernism and all, but old age is getting some. I mentioned the other day on a Wednesday night about two churches I know of that where the pastors are getting up in years and their health is failing and they need somebody to come in and take those works so those works can continue on. And I just learned today of a pastor that was, well, I would call him a young man. Of course, the older I get, the less old people I know, you know. But anyway, he would have been probably about my age, maybe a little younger. And cancer got the best of him. He went home to be with the Lord today. 1 month ago, he had no idea there was a problem. That's how fragile life is, I'll tell you. But we need somebody to step up and take his place. God's looking for men that'll stand in the gap for the land. Now, if you would, go over to Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah 3 and verse 15. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shallum, the son of Kolhozi, the ruler of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof and the wall of the pool of Shiloh by the king's garden and under the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him repaired Nehemiah the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Bethzur, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, to the pool that was made and unto the house of the mighty. After him, verse 17, repaired the Levites, Rehum the son of Bani. Next unto him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah, in his part. After him repaired their brethren, Bevei, the son of Henadad, the ruler of the half part of Keilah. Next unto him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another piece over against the going up of the armory at the turning of the wall. And after him repaired Barak, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall under the door of the house of Elishab, the high priest. Go back to verse 19, and let's look at that together. Next unto him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another piece over against the going up of the armory at the turning of the wall. The title of the message tonight, Repair Another Piece. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we need you tonight. I pray that you'll come down and touch us this evening. Lord, give us a message from heaven. Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts. Father, all is vain lest the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And God, I beg of you to work in our midst tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help me, Lord. I just want to be a blessing to the folks. I pray that you would give me exactly what I need to say, Lord, that I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't. And Father, I pray you just take control of the service. Lord, if there'd be one here tonight that's never been saved, I pray this would be the night of their salvation. Lord, just bless everything that's done, and we'll just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Folks, I love America. I really do. But I think you'd have to agree with me that America's in a sad state of repair. It's not what it ought to be. I hope it turns around, but it's just not what it ought to be. I mean, we look at the mess we're in, and we challenge folks to vote. You know, every time we have an election, you know, vote for righteousness, but I'll tell you, it's looking pretty bleak. But I didn't say it was beyond repair. You see, it doesn't look good today, but there is hope for America, amen. There is hope. You and I can't fix it. One, individually say, you know what? I got the fix. I can take care of it. No, maybe you can't fix it, but you know, each one of us can do something. Jerusalem was a disaster. I mean, Jerusalem was a mess. The walls had fallen down, and it was a mess. And Nehemiah couldn't fix it either. But God put on the heart of Nehemiah to do what he could. Go with me to chapter 2 of Nehemiah. Just turn back a page there, chapter 2, and look at verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Hey, Nehemiah accepted the challenge to motivate others to do something about it. You see, he couldn't take care of it himself. Nehemiah couldn't fix it all. You may not be able to fix it all. I can't fix it all, but maybe we can, at the very least, motivate somebody else, encourage somebody else to get on board with us and see if we can't make a difference here in America. You see, you and I could be used to motivate others to make a difference in our great land. At the very least, each one of us ought to repair a piece. Hey, maybe I can't fix it all. Maybe I'm not a great motivator. Maybe you're not a great motivator, but can you fix a little piece? You see, these men all got together, and they, you know, one fixed a little piece of the wall here, and somebody else they were working on the wall over there, and somebody else over there, and together, you know what? They built the wall back up. Amen, but they all work together to repair a piece of the wall. You see, if I repair a piece and Brother Coolidge repairs a piece and Pastor Skyver repairs a piece and Pastor Dave repairs a piece and Brother Rich repairs a piece and you see, we're all working, pretty soon we begin to see a difference. Pretty soon things don't look quite so bad anymore. But I fear that maybe we've gotten to the point where we just kind of sit back and says, oh, we're in the last days anyway. Lord's coming back. I mean, as far gone as we are, there's no hope for America. I really believe that's the average Christian, that's the average fundamentalist today, says, you know what, we're in the last days anyway. We're in the Laodicean age. There's no hope. Jesus, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hey, I want him to come too, but he's not coming yet. He might come tonight, but he might not come for another 10 years. In the meantime, are we just going to watch our country go down the tubes? Are we going to watch our neighbors die and go to hell? No, there's hope. Each one needs to repair a piece. Each one. You can't fix it all, but you can repair a little piece. Everybody can do something. Well, what's the problem? Or exactly how do we fix this? What's in need of repair? Well, Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Go with me over to the Gospel of John. Just stick a track there in Nehemiah. We'll be back. Go over to the Gospel of John. John 8. You should have read this just a few days ago. I hope you're reading your Bible schedule. I'm enjoying that. I am. I mean, I've been reading for years. I've been reading through my Bible, but I've always just started in the Old Testament and read on through, you know. And sometimes I pick up the Psalms and read the Psalms, you know. But I'm enjoying splitting it up like this and getting New Testament and Old Testament together, you know. And I hope you're getting involved in that and reading your Bible. It's not too late to start. Oh, maybe you won't get the whole Bible. Maybe you won't be, but just start where you're at. You know, amen. I mean, get in the Word of God. John chapter 8, and beginning in verse 31. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. We need the truth. Praise God. The truth will make you free. Then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Hey, folks, I'll tell you what. Is it any wonder that America is in the shape that it's in? When you stop and think about it, I mean, the majority of our citizens today are children of the devil. Is it any wonder they act like children of the devil? You know, is it any wonder the direction we're going? It's just like Jesus said, "Hey, you're of your father, the devil, and you do the works that he does. That's what you do." You know, everywhere we turn, we see folks doing works of the devil. Well, duh, what's the problem? They're not saved. They're doing what's natural. You see, the natural thing for a Christian to do on the Lord's Day is to come to the house of God. Amen? That's natural. That's natural for us. But they're doing what's natural to them. Go with me to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Folks, America needs truth. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. America needs Christ. America needs Jesus. America needs truth. We're a mess. The Lord said, the Lord's got a controversy with the land. There's no truth in the land. There's no knowledge of God in the land. We're not quite there, but we're almost there. We're almost there. What are we going to do about it? Well, a lot of folks are just tempted to give up, like I said. There's no hope. There's no hope for America. Just hang it up. We'll just band together and we'll have a good time and we'll worship the Lord ourselves and no, we've got to do something. You know, the problem is that the mentality that we have here in America. We live in a throwaway society. Nothing's worth fixing anymore, right? I mean, it costs more to fix it than to replace it. You know, we had trouble with our printer the other day, or a couple weeks ago. The printer quit working. And I finally got the thing working again. I can't afford to do what the average person does, just throw it away and go buy another one. I messed around with that thing for the longest time. I got so frustrated. I was pricing new ones. I stopped at Staples and asked them, you know, is there anything, you know, tell me what might be the problem? And he says, how long have you had it? And I told him, I think it's about 3 years or something like that. He says, I just throw it away. He says, they're not worth fixing. You know, if it's out of the warranty period, just throw it away, you know. And, you know, just that's just the way we are today, you know. We throw everything away. You know, it doesn't pay to fix a vacuum sweeper anymore. You know, I mean, where do you go for parts? We had one I wanted to get a little part for. I remember years ago you used to be able to buy the brushes. You know, that bar at the bottom that spins around. You know, you could buy replacement brushes and take the thing out. You know, put a new belt on or whatever, slide the brushes in, and you're good to go. And so this vacuum we had, it had the replaceable brushes. So I pulled a brush out. I went down to the Hoover place, and I says, you know, I need two brushes like this. Oh, you can't get those anymore. You got to buy the whole bar. Now, you know, they made them that way, but we don't sell those anymore. You can't. Hoover doesn't offer that anymore. You got to buy the whole bar. Oh, well, okay. Well, how much is that? I think it was like $40. What? You got to be kidding me. You know? No, they want you to throw it away and buy a new one. You know, and that's the way we are, folks. America is worth repairing. America is worth repairing. By the way, let me say this: your home is worth repairing. You got a home. You've got something. People they are throwing their homes away. They don't care. There's no home, no family unit anymore, hardly. I mean, our country doesn't even understand what a family is. Our leaders don't understand what a family is. This book tells me what a family is. Our homes are worth repairing. Our marriages are worth repairing. Yeah. Don't give up. Having a hard time? Work on it. Work on it. I mean, spend time with each other. Do things for one another. I mean, build. It took a while to win her, love. If you've lost it, try to win it back. You know, go back in your mind. Say, now, what did I do? What did I do 20 years ago? You know, what did I do 5 years ago? Well, it worked then. Maybe it'll work again. You know, let's try. I mean, our marriages are worth repairing. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it may take a while. It took me quite a while to figure out what was wrong with that printer and actually get the thing fixed. I was online. I was reading up about it. You know, what could it be? What? And this person said one thing, and somebody else said something else, and tried, and nothing was working. And finally, on a whim, I wonder. And I tried one more thing. And voila, it worked. It may not happen overnight, folks. Make it work. Make it work! Maybe you're already on a second marriage. You can't go back. You can't undo the past. The past is past. It's gone. You can't go. I wish, wouldn't it be good if we could somehow just run the clock backwards once in a while and start over? That's not possible. But make the second one work. I mean, some folks, you know, it's 2, 3, 4, you know, every couple of years, you know, hey, Josh, we're back. You know, I'm back. I got to get through to this one. I'm going to try another, you know. Oh, my goodness. Hey, there are some things that are worth repairing. There are relationships are worth repairing. You got a friend. You got something special. I mean, we've got relationships in this church. We've got friends in this church. You know, and we got folks that care about each other. That means a lot. That's one of the fringe benefits of being a church member, amen? You know, the fellowship and the friendship we have among each other. You know, but some even in churches, sometimes folks can't get along. Relationships are broken. You wonder why some folks always sit on this side and some folks always sit on this side? You know? No, really, really. If you got a friend, you got something special. Work on those friendships, you know. And you know, there's a little disagreement. You know, hey, come on, let's take a little time and get that settled. You know, have a cup of coffee together and you know, hey, I'm sorry, something. There's something between us, and I don't like that friction. You know, we used to be good friends. Let's go do something together. Let's go get a piece of pie and a cup of coffee and let's restore that relationship. How sad when Christians can't get along. I mean, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? You know, you might live in mansions next door to each other, you know. I mean, you know, I guess you got a mansion big enough, you can just stay in it all the time. And you know, but I want to get out and walk on the golden streets. What if your neighbor walks out the same time you do? Oh, my goodness. Hey, there are some things that are worth repairing, folks. Hey, our churches are worth repairing. You say, well, what's wrong with my church? Well, I don't know. Probably you. I don't know. You know, or maybe me. Anytime a human joins a church, you know, there's going to be problems, you know. Churches are made up of people. People are fallible, you know. And there are going to be issues in churches. So what do we do? Well, I'll just go get me another one. I'll go down the road. No. No. You fix the problem. You work on the problem. Well, I saw a weed growing up by the door, right by the door, and you know, it's been there for months and nobody's pulled the weed. But pull the weed. You know, I mean, it's not hard to fix some problems. I see a cobweb every time I come in, I look for it, and sure enough, it's still there. There's a cobweb on a light fixture, and it's there week after week after week. I think there used to be a ladder back in the back there. Help yourself, you know. Let's get the cobweb down, you know what I mean? Come on, folks. You know, some folks say, well, church isn't friendly. Our church is friendly. I think it's real friendly, you know. But if you don't think it's friendly enough, we'll come early, put a smile on their face, and help greet folks when they come in. You know, I mean, there are ways to fix a problem. You pray about it. You talk to the pastor about it, you know, and you say, you know what, I'm concerned about this. How can I help make a difference in this area? But no, the average person says, oh, forget that church. I'll go somewhere else. No. No, you repair the problem. You work on it. You pray about it. You try to fix it. Is it going to happen overnight? No. But our churches are worth repairing. You see, the hope of America is the church house, not the White House. Yeah. We can't just throw a church away because there's a little problem somewhere. There's always going to be problems in the church. You can't, you know, folks, they think the grass is greener on the other side, and they go. I remember years ago when I was a teenager, there was a family in our church. It'd been there a long time, and something came up they didn't agree with. I couldn't tell you what it was. I don't remember what the problem was. I have no idea. But they left the church, okay? They joined another church. And you hear news from the grapevine. You know, it was a small church. Everybody knew everybody, and you know, you knew what was going on. And this family left the church, and they were in another church for about a year or two, and they left that church. And then they went somewhere else, and they lasted there a year or so, and then they moved to another church. And pretty soon they ran out of churches within driving distance. And wouldn't you know, they came back where they started. Now, if you know somebody that's left here, they're welcome back. Amen? You know, pray for them and try to encourage them. You know, that's not what I'm trying. But what I'm trying to say is, you know what? Everywhere they went, they found a problem, right? Well, there probably were problems everywhere they went. You know, maybe they were the problem. I don't know. And the problem kept following them. I don't know, you know. Well, what's wrong with working on the situation? Try to make a difference. Folks, there's some things worth repairing. America is worth repairing. Don't give up on America. Don't give up on America. Hey, one person at a time. One at a time, repair a piece, then another, then another, then another. You see, win a person to Christ. What's the problem? Well, they're the father of the devil. So how do you get them? How do you change? You get them out of that family and into the family of Christ. Amen? Hey, you grab a handful of gospel tracts and you hand them a tract. So, hey, this will tell you how you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? Well, yeah. And you know, you start handing out gospel tracts. You start going soul winning. You know, you tell your neighbors about Christ. You invite them to church. You invite them to Sunday school. I mean, one at a time. One at a time. You win them to Christ. Get them in church. Disciple them. Teach them about the things of the Lord. Show them the importance of baptism. And get them in the church. And go out and get another one. And what do you do? Pretty soon, you're cleaning up the country. Oh, I live in a rough part of town. Well, maybe so. What's the problem? Well, there's too much crime. Well, what you mean? You mean they're out committing crimes instead of going to church? Yeah, you got it. You got it. Well, how about inviting them to church? How about winning them to the Lord? You see, if you can't trust your neighbor, maybe he's not saved. Now, you can just give up on your community and move. Sometimes, you know, you might have to do that, but wouldn't it be so much better just to change the community? I appreciate you, Brother Mel. I use you as a sermon illustration in a lot of churches. There's a brother that takes what he gets here, takes it to work, and on his lunch break, shares a message of Christ with the people he works with. I don't know how many he's led to the Lord, but a whole lot. I gotta believe that the place you work at, Brother Mel, is a different place than it was 10 years ago, isn't it? Yeah, a lot more of the love of Christ there than what there used to be. You see, he's got the idea. He's repairing it one piece at a time, one piece at a time. You see, we're not just talking about repairing an inanimate object. We're talking about repairing souls. We're talking about saving lives. We're talking about folks that are on their way to hell. I mean, real people. Somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's mom and dad, somebody's brother and sister on their way to hell because they don't know the Lord. And you've got the answer. You could make a difference. You could make a difference. Hey, what I'm saying tonight is America needs truth. America needs truth. And well, Brother Black, okay, I'll do what I can. I'll repair a piece. Grab a bunch of tracts. I mean, grab a handful of them and start handing them out. Start inviting people to church. But you know, you realize now this is not going to be a real easy fix. This isn't going to be just an overnight thing. It took a lot of time to find the problem with the printer, but we got the printer fixed. Glory to God, amen. Saved me $150, amen. And that was on a clearance one. You know, it would have cost more than that. Save me some money. I always like saving money. But no, it took some time, and it's going to take some time to turn America around. It's been a long time coming, folks. It didn't happen like this overnight. You know, we haven't had enough men standing in the gap. I'm not talking just preachers. And we need somebody standing in the gap on your street. We need somebody standing in the gap for your family. We need a lot of folks standing in the gap. The gap's pretty big, folks. The gap's pretty big. Say, well, okay, I'll do that. Notice back in Nehemiah again, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 3. I want you to notice how Barak repaired the wall. Oh, this is great. Look at verse 20. Nehemiah 3:20. After him, Barak, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece. From the turning of the wall into the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Barak, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the piece. Folks, you can't go about this in a nonchalant way, haphazard. Now you got to be earnest about this thing. If you're going to repair a piece of America, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some thought. It's going to take some planning. It's going to take some time. I mean, you got to prepare for this thing. It doesn't just happen. There's got to be some earnest. I mean, if I'm going to hand out tracts, well, duh, I got to put some in my pocket before I leave the house, right? Right. I got to plan. Right. I got to keep some in the car in case I run out. You know, some days you may not get an opportunity to pass out very many, but another day comes along, and boy, the Lord just gives you several opportunities, and you run out. Hey, you get back to the car, I got some more. Now, I'm not trying to tell you just a big old stockpile and never use them, okay? No, if you take some, use them, all right? But what I'm trying to say is get earnest about this thing and plan to do something. Plan to make a difference. I mean, take the gospel. I know a lot of you are in the Christian school, maybe some in the public school. Take your Bible. Take some tracts with you to school. Invite folks to church. Tell them about the Lord. Our families, our neighbors. I mean, we got to get earnest about this thing. It's not going to just happen. That's how we got in this mess. I don't know a time, going back in my mind, I've not been around all that long, okay, but I don't remember a time when I didn't hear preachers talk about soul winning and inviting people to church and Sunday school. I don't remember a time when I haven't heard about that. But I'll tell you what, we haven't been doing enough of it. It's been kind of a haphazard attitude. And there's been too much of this attitude that, oh, we're just in the last days. You can't do anything about it. No, we'll never see a revival again. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. The God that sent revivals in the past is the same God today. He hadn't changed one bit. He can revive America. American can turn. Have you ever noticed that whenever there was a revival, it always followed a real low time? You know, you look at Israel, and when Israel turned back to God, it was after they hit rock bottom, wasn't it? We're about at rock bottom, folks. And we can say, we're just us four no more. We'll just hang on to our little group here and we'll wait till Jesus comes. And we can do that if we want. I think too many folks have been doing that. And there is hope for America. I mean, we need to pray. We need to work. We need to witness. We need to turn away from our sin. We need to grab a handful of tracts, grab our King James Bible and go out and tell this world, tell this country about the Lord. Praise God, we got churches starting. You know, amen for that. Part of what we're trying to do is try to keep the churches alive that we've already got. That's a big part of our ministry. I appreciate your support. I appreciate the church helping us out that way. Pray for us. You see, it's not just going out and preaching special days and revivals and all, but our heart is to try to keep the light on in some of our churches where they're struggling, where they're having a hard time, and pastors getting discouraged and trying to keep them going for the cause of Christ. We need more churches, not less. We're losing ground. We're closing more. More churches are closing in America than are starting. I mean, we're losing about 500 churches in America each year. I'm talking about Baptist churches. About 500 each year are closing their doors. Yes, we're starting some. Praise God, we're starting some. Folks, we're losing ground. What are we going to do about it? Can you repair peace? Can we count on every person in this room repairing at least one piece? Earnestly repairing a piece, and then another. Invite your neighbor. Tell your neighbor about Christ. One piece, then another, then another, then another. Fill these empty spots in these pews. Amen? America's worth repairing. Nobody going to do it if we don't do it. Let's stand with heads bowed. Father in heaven, Lord, you know the situation we're in. Lord, when Nehemiah looked at the wall, it just broke his heart. It broke his heart that the city of Jerusalem lied waste and the wall was broken down and was a ruin. God, he couldn't take it. He went to the king and asked leave. So I got to go back and make a difference in my country. He went back. He enlisted some men to help him. And each one repaired a piece. And they built the wall back. Lord, it ought to break our hearts when we see the condition of our country. Oh God, that we would do as Nehemiah. Do our part. Lord, there may be some here tonight that maybe they've got a relationship that's not what it ought to be. Oh, Lord, I teased about one side not wanting to sit with the other. But, Lord, there could be someone here tonight that they've got aught with a brother across the pew, the other side of the auditorium. Lord, maybe they ought to just walk over to that person right now. Say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I'm sorry. Work on restoring that relationship. Lord, there may be some homes on the rocks tonight. Marriage on the rocks. Maybe they ought to just recommit to make it work. Their home's worth repairing. Marriage is worth repairing. God, America's worth repairing. Oh, God, help us to do our part to earnestly repair a peace, and then another peace, and another, and another. Lord, there could be one here tonight that's never been saved. Oh, God in heaven, I pray, Lord, that they would come to this altar. Let us take a Bible and show them how they can be sure they're saved on their way to heaven. Lord, I pray you'll move in this invitation. We thank you in Jesus' name. Pastor.